Good afternoon, and welcome to church today. I'm just going to pray before we start. Dear Lord, I just pray that you'll be within the words that I say. Lord, that everyone who's listening to this would be impacted by what you have to say, and that we would have something to learn here and grasp and take hold of, Lord. That we increase our faith, increase the strength of our faith, and that when hard times come, we are ready. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon topic today is pressurized faith. Now, that's a pretty weird topic, but let's see what pressurized faith is all about. What we're going to look at today is, where is faith when the pressure is on? So you have faith in God. But what happens to that faith when the world seems to be coming to an end? It's easy to have faith when everything is good. You might even have learned how to have faith when things start to get tough, and you may start to pray and press into God. But what about when the world seems to be falling in on your head? Where is your faith then? It seems to me that a lot of people experience a loss of faith when it seems the pressure becomes too great. Our emotions take over and we lose the ability to reason. Take a situation that a few of us may have been in. A bill is overdue. You don't have enough money to pay it, and you are sure that a debt collection agency is going to be calling you any minute, or very soon, for you to pay it. Now the fear overwhelms you, and all that you can think of is all the bad things that will happen to you, and what you will lose. Now you have two choices in a situation like this. You can either give it to God, and have faith that he will take care of it, or stress and worry and make yourself sick until one day, in one way or another, something happens, good or bad. Now, see, it's the waiting for an outcome that is the worst thing. That's the thing that is debilitating, that you are filled with a desperation of just not knowing what will happen, but always fearing the worst. See, I see stress, anxiety, and worry as little demons that hang around us, and when something happens to us that can cause us to become stressful or anxious, they're instantly at our heels, reaching up wildly, trying to pull us down and throw a blanket of heaviness over us. This, in turn, will cause us to sit there and become very unproductive and wallow in our own sense of doom and gloom. See, Satan's aim is to keep us down and out so that we don't look to God for our salvation. And that keeps God powerless from doing anything for us, and it keeps the angels standing around waiting for us to ask. See, faith tells us to rise up and throw off the blanket of heaviness. Kick these little guys of stress, anxiety, and worry in the head, and look to God, and put on the garment of praise to get rid of the spirit of heaviness. Now, it may seem like a hard thing to do, but it's about making a decision, an act of will, to give it to God, and say, whatever happens, happens, and leave it in his hands. But see, what happens when we worry and stress about a situation? We may say we've given it to God, but by worrying about it, we take it back, hold on to it, and we look at it and say, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? We can't fix it. We must deny our feelings, our emotions, give it to God, and trust. Have faith that God can take care of it, that he has a plan no matter what the outcome. Now, you can sit there and stress and worry about something for hours, but tell me, in those hours, have you changed anything in life except waste hours sitting and not living? Faith is about denying our emotions, fear, and simply making a choice to let God handle it and face life no matter what happens, good or bad. The Bible gives us many examples of men of faith. Let's take a look at some of these people, and we'll see their situations were much worse than what we have to face, and they didn't even have the Holy Spirit as we do. Abraham is the first one I want to look at, okay? Abraham, or who was later had his name changed to Abraham, was called the father of the faith. He showed us what true faith is many times in his life. In Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord had said to Abraham," or Abram, "leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Abraham got up and went simply because he was told to. He had faith that God knew what he was doing and that he had a plan. Later, at the age of 99 years of age, God promised Abraham a son. Now, even though Sarah, his wife, was way beyond childbearing years and was barren, Abraham had the faith in God that it would happen, and it happened just as God promised. So Isaac was born. Abraham is called the father of faith not only because he was the first of his people to believe in God and serve him, but because he believed in God's promise even when it seemed impossible. Abraham loved his son a lot, and God wanted to see if Abraham loved Isaac more than he loved God. Okay, so he wanted to test whether he loved God more than he loved his son Isaac. So let's take a look at the story of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 13, this is what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham." "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on it, on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your own son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Now what we see here, because of Abraham's faithfulness to God, even in the face of such a task of being asked to sacrifice the only son he loved so much that he'd been promised, he did not falter. He did not hesitate. Because Abraham showed faithfulness to God, God blessed him abundantly. Now Abraham continued to have faith in God until he died, not wavering once. Okay, well, we looked at the first man of great faith, Abraham. Let's look at another great man of faith, Daniel. Now, even as a young man of about 15, Daniel showed great faith in God through very tough circumstances. Israel was going through a hard time, being put into slavery. Now, here was Daniel, young man in the service of a king who did not live in the godly standards. Now, Daniel refused to live in those standards that the king was living by, and continued to live his life in a godly manner. Now, after many years in the service of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel came to be an advisor of the king, interpreting the king's dreams. Now, because of Daniel's influence over the king, the other advisors sought Daniel's downfall. And knowing that Daniel was faithful to his God, they convinced the king of his absolute authority, and that no one should worship anything or anyone else but the king. Now the king liked Daniel, but unaware of the motive behind the other advisers, signed a law saying that only the king was to be worshipped. Daniel ignored this law and continued to worship God. Caught red-handed by the advisers, worshipping God rather than the king, the king had no choice but to throw Daniel into the lion's den as punishment. Now Daniel faced this dreadful possibility, possibly fateful situation, with the same faith he had always had. Now after being in the lion's den all day and all night, the king, who had not slept or eaten, hurried to the lion's den the next morning to find out the fate of Daniel. Now in Daniel chapter 6 verses 20-23, we see the account of what happened. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he trusted in his God. God rewarded his faith with life. Now, how many of us in such a situation would have the faith to believe that we would not be killed in the den with hungry lions? We see so many men of faith and women of faith throughout the Bible. It would take me hours to go through all of them and what they did, or the circumstances where they showed exceeding faith. But I will mention a few of them in passing. Joseph, son of Jacob, who, being the youngest of his brothers, but most loved by his father, had a hard life. He was thrown into a pit, and he was sold into slavery. He was then sent off into Egypt. But through his faith in God, it took him to places that would seem impossible to anyone else. He ended up as an advisor in Egypt, and even his family came to him asking for food during a famine. What about Moses? Moses, who thought he wasn't good enough to be a leader, but God used him to deliver the people of Israel from slavery from the Egyptians. And then he went to the Red Sea, and we know he parted it. Israel passed through and was saved from the Egyptians. Then what did he do? He went to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. He is a man who didn't think he was good enough, and yet he did some of the most memorable things in the Bible. There is a man of faith. How about his servant Joshua, who took the Israelites into the Promised Land, who stood before Jericho, and by faith they shouted and the walls fell down? He did many things in his life by the guidance and his faith in God. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were threatened with death, refused to bow down to a king, and their faith saw them walk around in a fiery furnace with God, the same fiery furnace that actually killed the people who lit it. Now that is a faith, to even believe that you can walk through fire without being burned. How about Elijah, who didn't die, but by his faith was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. Enoch was similar. Enoch, who walked with God, and then one day he simply was not. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." What about David? David, who through faith, as a small boy, defeated Goliath, a giant, who scared the rest of Israel. Israel was shaken in his boots, but by his faith, he stepped up, he took a stone, and he killed a giant. I mean, we can go on and read so many other things that David did through his faith, through his loyalty to God. He became king. There are so many more listed in the Bible that I can't go through all of them, because they are so many. And there's not just men, but there's women too. There's Ruth and there's Esther. But let me save the best for last. Jesus, our Saviour, the man we follow and serve and call Lord. Was he not the greatest example of faith? Not doing anything in his own power, but relying on the power of his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, right before his death, even though he knew of how much he would suffer, his faith said, "Not mine, but your will be done." I cannot imagine to what extent his human body wanted to doubt and run away from the suffering he had to face. I mean, he was under such stress, he was sweating blood as a sign of the stress that he was undergoing. But he made a choice to have faith and trust God and do what he had been sent to earth to do. In virtually every book of the Bible, you can read of a man or woman of faith who, against all odds, believed and rose up against the circumstances that would try and defeat them. Even today, Christians in countries such as China and Russia are persecuted for their faith. We are lucky in this country to be allowed to believe what we want, but that is why it is so important for us to learn what real faith is. It is a choice to deny your emotions and will. To deny emotions and just trust in God in whatever circumstances you find yourself and believe that God is in control. To have faith that God will make a way when there seems to be none. That he will take whatever happens and use it for your benefit, for the good of his purposes. Now Hebrews 11 verse 1, the New Living Translation says, "This is faith, the confidence that we hope will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." See, faith is believing in what we hope will be the outcome of a situation and being certain that God will bring that about. Leaving it in God's hands, we should be able to rest in the fact that it will be worked out for us and not spend our time stressing and worrying. So make a choice. Choose to take your hope, your trust in God, the denial of your emotions, stick it in a container, press it down, shake it together, and you'll find that when you open it, it'll make that shh sound that soda bottles make when you open them. And what you'll have is pressurized faith. Faith that is ready for the great times of pressure and unbelievable odds. If you want God to use you in great ways, it will take great faith. Faith that does not bend under pressure. God gave me an analogy once. We should be like sponges. By faith, we should absorb, trust in God. We should absorb his spirit. We are filled with his spirit. When we are squeezed, what comes out but God, his strength, the knowledge that he is in control. Now, if our faith is not strong, it is like that sponge, but it's only damp. After the contents are squeezed out, there is only air left, and we are left feeling crushed and heavy. I encourage you to read the stories of these men and women of God found throughout the Bible. Study their lives. And how even without the help of the Holy Spirit, which we have today, their faith in God was so great it saw them through the hardest times of their lives, and it was credited to them as righteousness. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." It is easy to walk by sight, by what we can see and what we can prove, that God wants us to walk by faith, waiting on him for guidance, seeking to go the way in the direction that he wants us to go for our lives. For our lives are his to do with what he pleases, not ours. So we should always be looking to him for our direction. If that direction leads us through situations that are hard and difficult and into valleys and mountaintops that are hard to traverse, let your faith be your endurance. Trust in God and rely on him for everything in your life, because only by that will we ever get through this life. We must trust God. Our faith must grow. If our faith doesn't grow, we will be sitting still. We will not be moving forward. God has big plans for all of us. For even Jesus said, "I have done great things, but greater things will you do than I." So let your faith grow today. Study those men of faith. Study those women of faith. See what they did in their lives. And I pray that you yourself will pray for a greater faith, that you can be stretched, your faith will grow, and you will do great things in God. Amen.